Hello guys, welcome to the Beers and Movies podcast. This is Memo. I'm here as always with my good friend.
What's up guys, it's Eddie. We're back after a while. It's
been a good month and a half or so, right?
A half.
I was a year younger the last time we did a podcast. Not a year younger, right? But just had a birthday not too long ago.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Well, it was last month, you know.
Yeah.
A month and a half. So we're back recording, guys. Back with a new episode. First and foremost,
there you go.
There you go. We're here with some. I got a Modelo tonight, and
I got the Sekis, but we've been mixing them all night, pretty much, right?
Yeah, this Modelo is actually pretty good. Good call on that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, also, like, I've been pretty sick for, like, the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm still, like, kind of recovering.
No COVID, though.
No, I tested. Not COVID. I got tested.
Tested negative. We're not anti-vaxxers or anything like that.
To be
getting together when someone might have COVID, no? Because, I mean, you guys already know, if you've been following the podcast for a while, that we're not into recording remotely, so...
Yeah.
It's in person. The whole point is get together, have a beer, and talk about a movie.
Yeah, we cracked one open. But what do we have today? We have
we got a Netflix original movie, The Guilty, starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, which is pretty much a
one man band in the movie.
It's a one man show, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
And I want to ask you before we get into the movie, speaking of it, like, focusing a little bit on Jake Gyllenhaal, such a great actor.
Great actor.
And I wanted to ask you a specific question that popped into my head when we decided to do this movie. Jake Gyllenhaal, such a great actor. He's only had one nomination for an Oscar, which was Brokeback Mountain. What do you think is missing for him to, you know, take that extra step to be like an elite or not an elite, but an actor who would be already not only be shown or when he's promoted, not just as an Academy Award, a nominated actor, but an award winning, an Academy Award. What's missing for him to be an Oscar winner, you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he didn't get, or if he got nominated for Nightcrawler, which is to me his best performance.
He didn't. To me, that's also his best performance. I think for me, that's his favorite movie. It's up there with Prisoners.
Prisoners is my favorite movie, but I know that Nightcrawler is his best performance.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
That's just a fucking atrocity. That
like, do you think it's just he hasn't gotten to the right movie? That like,
It's just the Academy that.
Bullshits are on sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into that, like, whole politics of the Academy, but that's what it is, you know. But he's a fucking phenomenal actor.
Because, like, for example, we can even
Donnie Darko.
We can even mention DiCaprio.
Zodiac.
Zodiac is also amazing, but DiCaprio, like, he's only had one Oscar so far.
Yeah, but he's nominated.
Like, countless nominations.
Like, almost, right? Like, half a dozen times. But this guy's, like, very...
Because for me, I've always thought Jake Gyllenhaal should be an award-winning.
Oh, he should. I'm pretty sure he's going to get it one day. Like, for sure.
We're not far along.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got The Guilty, right?
The Guilty, Netflix original. This movie is basically like a one-man show, right? Like, him just...
Basically. The movie is about... He's in a Los Angeles Police Department office, right? Mm-hmm. Now, during the movie, he's at a call center. He works for 911, or no?
Yeah, like a 911 dispatch. No?
Yeah, 911 dispatch. But he's but he's not just a rep who takes calls. He's an actual officer, and he's in some kind of trouble. During the movie, the movie is basically it's all about him taking calls, right?
Yeah.
But during the film, you find out that he's in some kind of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Like, it just hints to, like, things that are going on in his life.
Exactly.
while he's doing this job, right?
Exactly. Because it's
well, the whole movie takes place in a few hours, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like in one night.
Exactly. Because he's there as a temp, so to speak, because his job is not to be taking calls. He's just there temporarily. Because
he's currently being investigated for something.
Exactly. Because during the movie, you find out that he has court the following day. For some reason. You don't really know until
the very end of it. Well, until like half of the movie where he kind of explains a little. But he just takes these calls and...
Some of the calls are kind of funny, right? Like,
yeah.
Because it's 911 dispatch, right? So sometimes you'll get a call from some random person, like, oh, I don't feel good. He's all panicked. And
he's like, high as shit. Speed, I think it was.
And Jake Gyllenhaal's character, which is Joe Baylor. That's the name of his character. He's like, have you been taking drugs? Like, yeah, but I don't feel so good. Like, well, that's your own fault, right?
Like no sympathy for
you. Yeah. And that's one of the points where that's important, that he's a very compulsive person. Like,
yeah,
he lets his emotions get to him, and that becomes a problem for him later.
Yeah,
you find out that that's a big problem for him.
And also, like, you can tell, he has a daughter, because he's like, in the beginning of the movie, it shows that he's trying to call
the mom
of the daughter, right? And he just wants to speak to the daughter before she sleeps or whatever.
Yeah.
And but they're separated.
They're separated, but they're not divorced. If you notice, he's still wearing his wedding band. So
I didn't notice that actually, but
yeah, he's still wearing. I noticed type of shit since I'm married. Well, okay. I noticed.
I just noticed yours.
I noticed that kind of shit now.
Yeah, I don't notice that.
So I'm perfectly honest with you. I started noticing that shit after I got married.
Oh, okay.
Like I started noticing the ring and.
Oh yeah. That makes sense. I wouldn't.
Yeah, before that, I was totally clueless. But yeah, so he's separated from the daughter or the mother of his daughter.
And so you can see that he has his own problem there, right? Like,
exactly.
Like with his family right there.
There's an inner problem.
Yeah. And so he's taking calls, you know.
He hasn't gotten a good night's sleep for months. Weeks, months. He's rude with his fucking coworkers.
Right?
There's no manners for him. There's no basic manners for the guy. Mm-hmm. Which it even like you mentioned, like you, even if you haven't slept well, I know what that feels like. Also, like I've been through it sometimes in the past with some insomnia. You're not you when you don't sleep well. So, but even then, like. You gotta have some common courtesy with your peers, you know.
Yeah, this is like a, what's that word? It's like a, this is a loose cannon, man. You know?
Yeah,
it's just
for sure.
It just goes off on the people. And so, what happens? Like the main thing, he gets like a call, right?
So yeah, so the main thing that carries you through the whole movie is this call with Emily.
Yeah, right? So he gets a call from this. Young woman, sounds like a young woman.
Yeah. Young, not a kid young, but like young, like late 20s, early 30s, kind of woman.
Right.
And this is the part where we're going to get spoily. So just...
That's it. And,
so basically, Emily calls 911 and Officer Joe Baylor takes a call, which is... Joe Baylor, Jake Gyllenhaal's character, and she's been abducted, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing she said.
She's been abducted.
Well, no, actually, she starts speaking
if she's speaking to her baby, right?
To her daughter, right? Yeah.
She starts saying like, "Oh, I'm gonna be home." Like she's crying during the call. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, like in the beginning, Joe like doesn't not allow that. He feels like. Okay, I'm gonna hang up now.
He was two words away from hanging up the call.
Yeah,
exactly. So
because she thinks it's like a joke or whatever, or like a drunk call. But sometimes like we don't know what how these people can't speak with full sentences. They can only speak in yes or no's.
Because for example, in this case, what's going on is that she's being abducted. So obviously, if your abductor is right in front of you, you can't say, "Oh, I'm being abducted."
Yeah.
Obviously not, right? Yeah. So she's talking on the phone. She's talking like if she's talking to her daughter, right? "I'm gonna be home, honey. Like I'm gonna be home soon." Excuse me.
Abby,
which is speaking to her daughter. And so Joe is naturally, he's like, "Okay, I'm going to hang up now." Like, "No, and I'm going to be home soon." She's crying on the phone. So then Joe starts getting the hang of things, of what's going on, of the situation, right? He starts asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Because he starts asking, "Okay, have you, you know, are you okay? Are you driving? Have you been abducted?" And that's when Emily says yes. And from that point on, then that he starts taking the call serious.
And then he just says, "Speak in yes or no only." Yeah. Hey, continue talking to your daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Continue talking like if you're talking to your daughter, I'm just going to ask you yes or no questions. So he starts, you know, getting to the bottom of things in the call, you know. "Have you been abducted? Yes. Are you in a car, in a van? Yes. What color is your vehicle? Why yellow? Tell me to stop when I say the right color," or, you know. So, and during this time, so Officer Baylor has to notify, you know, the
California Highway Patrol,
right?
Wait, let me just get into that. Like, like when they, this gets PD, right?
Right, exactly.
So I thought they were all like connected to one, but like, you know, like when you call 911, I thought it was just like you call 911 and they dispatch, is someone they dispatch to everybody. But this is like apparently just to LAPD.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it was like, you know, where people dispatch and then
there's a call where,
so like even the CHP that they have their own dispatch, right?
Because
that lady that was being rude later on, she
has a very hateable voice, right? Yeah. You just don't like the character.
Yeah, she's like yeah, you know.
Hey, I'm glad you didn't say it.
but what you were saying, I mean, that's what it was.
So there's that's a main line, right, in 911 and for California. But then there's, like you said, a California Highway Patrol, the California Fire Department.
And also we see, like, in the beginning of the movie, we see like, all these fires that are going on.
Because this is taking place during, like, the fires.
And, like, I'm pretty sure, like, earlier in the movie, like, they called somebody and then they were so busy because, like, they were understaffed because of all the fires. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I can't make it. I'm in here in the fires.
Yeah, so
they, all these things that are real.
Yeah, because like the fires are going to burn. How long was that? Like 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
It's still going on right now. I mean, fires have still been.
Well, true, right? But
yeah.
Well, I meant when it started, right?
Yeah, it started.
I'm not gonna lie, off topic, but this model is really good.
Yeah, those are good. This is really good too.
If you're listening to this and thinking of having a beard, have a model, please. For God's sake.
Those are good.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's a lot of departments that, I mean, it doesn't.
Interdepartments.
Yeah, it's not about just 911. There's a lot of more specific things to just your 911, your typical 911 call. There's a lot of things to it.
Yeah.
But going back to Emily, so Emily's been abducted, right? So Jake Gyllenhaal's character, Officer Joe Bader, he, like we mentioned, he's very compulsive. His emotions get the better of him.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
That's kind of like the main thing of the movie. His emotions get the better of him. And because of that, he gets hung up on Emily because his shift already ended. Like it's time to go home for him. But because he's so hung up on Emily, he stays after work. It's already like 1-2 in the morning, right? Like the day, like, you know, the following crew, the other crew that's gonna be taking calls, the day watch is already, it's already there. But you know, he starts talking to, you know, Emily. He kind of gets to the bottom of things. He calls Emily's daughters who are back home alone. Mm-hmm. He finds out that because he sends he sends his partner to the house of where the daughters are, right? Now, because the daughters are home alone, and he starts digging and finds out who the abductor is, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that he gets a number, he gets the plate for the van, he gets the number for the abductor, and he calls it the guy who's kidnapping Emily.
They got all this from the daughter, right?
Yeah.
From the daughter of what's her name?
Emily's daughter, which is a 6-year old.
A 6-year old who just answered the phone and she says, like, you can come. They said that I can call them at this number. And so she says it, right? Until he searches it up and he finds all his info on the abductor, right?
Yeah. And he calls him, but he hangs up, like, you know, who's this? You know, I know what he answers. And then Joe starts telling him, I know what you're doing. I know you got Emily. So just stop right there. You know, we're going to come for you. Obviously, this guy hangs up and Joe starts calling him from his own personal phone.
His personal name, which is like a no-no, right?
Which is a big no-no.
Yeah.
Obviously, why the fuck would you do that? You
know? Yeah, it's like you're crossing the line.
Crossing the line, and even if you've never taken calls for work or for a job, I mean.
Because all these calls are recorded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For starters.
Yeah, yeah.
And
for legal reasons, and, you know,
exactly.
Report.
So, I mean, why would you do that in the first place?
And then, but like, goes back to what you said, that you get less, his emotions get
the better of him.
Yeah.
So. So then, going a little bit forward to with the story with Emily, Emily is being kidnapped, but. There's a twist, a little bit of a twist later to the story.
Because during the movie she keeps saying, he's gonna lock me up, and
yeah,
right?
He has a knife,
he's gonna lock me up. Oh, talking about the abductor.
Uh-huh.
But they're like together, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're like a husband or wife or
exactly. But I want you to tell us the big twist, because
it's because by, like you said earlier, that the cops, he sent two cops over to the house of her house, where there's her daughter, which is 6 years old, and the other one is like a baby, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the officers, like, they get to
he starts getting into like correspondence, right? The cop was at the house. He starts going
that's at the husband's house.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm talking about the one at the wife's house.
Uh huh.
And well, they sent two officers there, and you can hear in the background they're talking about, like, hey, I'm officer this, like, you like, we're the police, we're here to help you and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the officers goes to the room and checks on the baby that's there. And there's like they find him like bleeding and shit.
Yeah.
The fucking baby. Bleeding, and then it's like, holy shit. Like, and this guy's like on the phone, Officer Joe. He's on the phone. He's like, damn, like, what's going on? Like,
yeah, he's lost. He's desperate.
Yeah, he's lost. And they're like, the baby, it turns out that he was stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's all we know him to that point. And then, well, all of this is happening, like, they're still trying to find
Emily
and the abductor, which mm-hmm. is the one that's responsible, or so we think.
Okay, because the officers that are sent to with the kids to Emily's daughters. Like, there were just dispatches there.
Yeah.
And then
there's another one.
Joe's partner.
That's the one that was sent to his house.
Exactly, to the abductor's house.
Exactly, yeah.
Which Joe calls his partner, who's off duty.
And he had like a few beers in
him. Yeah, yeah, like he was one or two beers in.
Yeah.
Way more than us right
now. But also, like, we have to mention that there's a big court date tomorrow, right? Or did we mention that? Like, there's a court date in the movie him.
Yeah, we mentioned that he has court
the public. Yeah, so this is like the big trial, like it's gonna be decided like something. We don't know yet, but it's gonna decide something, right?
So then Joe Baylor's partner, who's at the abductor's house, starts finding letters and correspondence, about a psychiatric hospital. Yeah, I'm too drunk to pronounce it. So he starts finding out that Emily is not really being abducted.
She's being taken
to the psychiatric
hospital. And so that, and this is the way it hits you, like, holy shit. Like,
so yeah. Emily has never been abducted.
Right? So she wasn't the victim. Like, she just stabbed her baby, like,
because she's crazy.
They mentioned, like, she was mentioning that, like, she had snakes inside her or something.
Yeah.
And so she was getting them out. And so this is happening, you know, like, oh, this whole time we were thinking
that Emily's being abducted, but no, she's just trying to run away from the psychiatric, there you go.
Yeah.
Hospital.
Yeah, and so when the other officer's partner, he's at the house, he's reading things about, oh, you know, and then, like, she would, like, he has a rap, she's like, oh, he was in the prison for a while, I don't know what, and what about her? And her, she was in the hospital. Wait, well, hospital? What hospital?
Mm-hmm.
The psychiatric hospital. Like, I don't know what, and they found that, like, they've been going down this route, like 210 or something.
Yeah,
or which I-10,
is, and the psychiatric hospital is like right there, it's half a mile away.
She's on the map, and it's like, oh shit.
And then, like, realize that she's on the highway, like, she's about to commit suicide.
Yeah.
So then, this is where we find out what Joe Baylor did, what he asked court for the next day.
Right.
Because Emily is
about to jump.
Exactly.
From the overpass.
Exactly. So Joe, you know,
to try to stop her, desperate.
Exactly. He's begging to her not to do it. You know, he tells her, you know what? I killed the man. On the phone, he's like, I killed the man. Yeah. As a matter of fact, a 19-year-old kid, I was really upset. He did something wrong. He did something wrong, but maybe I shouldn't have killed him. Like he was just a kid. He was 19 years old. He did something wrong. I was really mad. I guess I wanted to punish him.
Yeah.
So that's when you find out, going back to what I said earlier, that his emotions got the better of him, and he was very compulsive. Like, he just wanted to punish this fucking kid. Because I don't know, but I don't want to defend Joe Baylor. I don't want to defend his character, but he's a good person, but, like, his heart was just in the wrong place, I feel.
Yeah. Well, that's what I feel. But also, we don't know what happened in that part.
Exactly. So in the movie, they never tell you the situation.
Maybe that could happened. Be another part.
Nah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't hope for it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's like finish what we were saying about Emily. Yeah, yeah.
So Emily,
and then we'll talk about
And because I know where you're going, and I want to talk about that too. So basically, Emily doesn't jump.
The CHP.
Yeah, Joe Baylor, you know, talks her out of jumping, and she's found later. You know, she's okay.
The CHP found her, and, like, we got her.
Yeah, and which at the end of the day, Joe did a good job, because, you know, he he was calling all these departments, he was bugging them all the time.
Yeah.
And they found her, right? And then it turns out that the little boy is just in the ICU, but he's alive.
Yeah, the baby.
The baby. Who Emily stabbed.
Yeah,
her own kid. Right. So, you know, that's the end of it.
And I'm off remember to mention that during the movie, like, there's like a report from the LA Times that keeps calling her him, right?
Yes.
Just trying to get her, like, his part of the story.
Exactly.
And but he keeps hanging up, like, oh, like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've heard him all.
So basically, at the end of the movie, Emily is found. She's safe. The little boy, the baby who was stabbed by Emily, is also, he's alive. He's in the ICU, but he's alive. And then after this experience, Joe, like, he starts feeling guilty.
Yeah, I guess that's where
the guilty.
I was wondering, right? Where his name came from.
The guilty.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, they made it seem, or it looks like she's calling the mother, right, of the 19-year-old when he's in the restroom, because he's throwing up, he's disgusted with himself. I mean, I can only assume that he's disgusted with himself. He's crying, and also before he calls the mom of the 19-year-old, he also calls his partner and tells him to just come clean at court the next day.
Yeah, even though they
tell him the truth.
They already had like a whole story.
Yeah, they already had, you know, something, exactly, a whole story.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's not gonna see his daughter for a long time.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end of the movie, but I wanted to talk to you. So when that happens, that's the end of the movie, when he's in the restroom talking to his partner, and then he calls the, what we assume is the mother of...
It was a report, right, from the LA Times that breaks the story open. Of,
This
kid just confessed to me. And then it cuts to the news report that officer found guilty of
killing the 19-year-old or whatever.
Yeah. What is that charge called? It's like
manslaughter.
Yeah. So it's basically like... So what I see about this movie that... Like, this whole time, like, this guy was, like, one of those cop killers, you know, like, not a cop killer, but, like, one of these killers that...
So that's what we were mentioning at the end of the movie, when the movie finished, that, like, it wanted to be politically correct, or it went into politics a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's correct or not, I'm just saying, like, the whole time he was one of the people that killed somebody, like Derek Chauvin, you know, who kneeled
up. Somebody.
Yeah. So this whole movie, like, he was trying to redeem himself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think one of the officers comes in and says something like, the bad people, or like something, what did she say? The girl cop. She said something like...
It was a saying, right?
Along those lines, right?
Yeah.
But it's very political like that. That's the way.
Exactly. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very political to things that are going on right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like with the police, what do you call it? Brutality.
Brutality, yeah. Especially like, or like, for example, Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, exactly. Well, we don't know what race this 19-year-old was.
Exactly.
But that's what it was, right? The point, like, I think that's why the movie's called The Guilty, because he felt guilty all along, and he was doing all of this thing to try to clear his head, and he was going to go through with it in court and lie and shit. But then after
his experience at work with this call,
he got to change your heart and say, no, you know what?
I'm going to come clean, and this is eating me alive.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did you think overall of the movie?
It's a slow burner, but it's good. The last half, I would give 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. I would do also like 7.1 out of 10. 7.1. Yeah, it's not a very. It doesn't really.
I would say this for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's a good 1 hour and 30 minute movie. You know, like
Tuesday night kind of movie.
It was good. Jake Gyllenhaal was always great. I thought he could have been better, but you know.
All right, guys. Well, that's the go-to, guys. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
All right.